Did somebody kill your dog? Find out on Canine Homicides.
Welcome back to Canine Homicides, where we investigate murder cases of unfortunate canines. Today's episode will be slightly different in that the canine in mention is fictional. His name is Wellington, and he's a black poodle from the work The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon. If you haven't read the book before, we're going to do a quick recap. The story's protagonist, Christopher, is 15 years old, and he lives in a single-parent household in a neighborhood in Swindon, England. It is never explicitly stated what Christopher's condition is, but it can be inferred that he falls somewhere on the autism spectrum, given his exceptional memory and ability in mathematics, as well as his struggle to express and understand emotions. At the beginning of the story, Christopher discovers Wellington, his neighbor Miss Shear's dog, dead in her backyard. He begins an investigation of the murder, despite his father's lamenting. In a wild turn of events, he discovers that the murderer is his own father, and that the death of his mother was a lie to cover up a treacherous affair. He then decides that he must flee to London to live with his actually alive mother to escape his newfound fear of his father, the dog murderer. Okay, that's enough background. Let's transition into today's discussion with special guests Emily and Rabia.
Hi, my name is Emily.
Hi, my name is Rabia.
As it turns out, the themes for this book stems more from autism than it does from canine homicides. I wanted to discuss the reliability of the author to talk about this subject. Mark Haddon himself is not autistic, but it should be noted that he worked in a mental facility and had firsthand experience with many autistic patients. Do you believe that he is qualified to speak about this?
Well, I personally feel like if it's the author, like, wouldn't he be more inclined to speak about the topic in his perspective and twist the story to make it more appealing to the audience? Like, it wouldn't really represent the autistic consciousness in their perspective, per se.
That's an interesting take on this.
Well, I haven't read the book, so I wanted to ask a few questions about its purpose. What do you think the author wanted to achieve while writing this?
Good question. Initially, I felt like the author was plainly trying to spread, like, just awareness of autism, but after thinking about it some more, it feels more like the author is trying to make his audience aware of how we treat people with autism, or more likely, how we treat anybody whose behavior isn't considered normal. Throughout the book, we see Christopher's parents getting frustrated with his behavior. The police are, like, really aggressive towards him, and they don't know how to handle him, and strangers avoid and ignore him when he's very obviously in a stressful situation.
Does this maybe make you more aware of how you treat others?
Well, I don't know. I think I understand how even when people try to help Christopher, he pushes them away. I can't really fault strangers for failing to understand and accommodate to his condition, but in terms of the police and his own parents, there's an obvious lack of training and, like, general understanding. I definitely do get that people tend to think that if someone likes to be alone, is because they're lonely. But the thing is that it sometimes really is just like a preference, and we shouldn't assume that we know how a person wants to be treated.
I don't think that being provided a different point of view would actually affect how I would, like, sympathize the other.
Yeah.
Realistically, we don't get to fully understand, like, situations everyone has to endure in life, so...
I agree with your perspective.
Well, I want to just ask you about the writing style next. I noticed that there are a lot of pictures in this book.
Yeah, I was getting there. The book is told through Christopher's perspective, so the author is trying to relate how he sees the world to us. So there's a lot of pictures and math equations and diagrams and charts and lists, because that's how Christopher thinks. It's like you can see his thought process.
Yeah. It's kind of like what I mentioned previously.
Another interesting style choice is that the story is self-aware. In the book, he's actually writing the book.
What?
Well, in the book, he's writing the book, so, like, he's the narrator and the author at the same time.
Is that, like, confusing at all?
No, not really. It's difficult to explain, but I think the stylistic choice is actually one of the book's strengths. It adds an air of, like, realism to the story.
All right, well, do you think the book had any weaknesses of any kind?
There's a few. I do feel like the author's decision to focus on Christopher's experience of the world does take a toll on the plot. I don't feel like the story itself was very compelling. There is a very interesting and compelling conflict, but it isn't explored because Christopher, who's the narrator, isn't that interested in it. And the reason Christopher's father has for murdering Wellington the dog doesn't really make much sense to me, because it turns out that he was upset with Miss Shears, the owner of the dog, because she said some nasty things about him and Christopher. But, like, you don't just kill a dog because you're mad at the owner of the dog. Like, you've got to have either, like, extreme hatred for the dog or the owner, or, like, you just have murderous tendencies.
Right.
The novel isn't really a murder mystery novel. The actual murder mystery is solved very early on, and then the story veers from canine homicide to family conflict and just Christopher trying to deal with the outside world.
Kind of like this podcast.
How so?
Aren't we supposed to be discussing dog murders instead of some book about autism?
Move on to the next question.
Alright. How was your overall experience reading the book?
I did enjoy the book. It was a fun read, and I really liked the addition of all the pictures and diagrams. It does enhance the writing, even when the plot was a little stale at times.
Did the book change your perception of autistic people at all?
It's hard to say. I don't know any autistic people in real life, and any interactions I've had with them are very, very minimal. I have trouble making conversations with people in general, so I wouldn't try to talk to them anyway.
Well, did you learn anything new about the topic?
I did. These are just general observations. I'm sure it varies from person to person. First of all, Christopher has difficulty distinguishing emotions outside of happy and sad. He's also extremely particular about his schedule and his food, and he seems to have a diminished sense of danger.
Really?
Yeah. He almost gets run over by a train in one scene, but when someone tries to pull him off the tracks, he still resists because he doesn't like people touching him. Now, I know you know a bit more about autism than me. Do you mind sharing some of your knowledge and experience?
Well, I know that, like you said earlier, they don't like to be touched very much, and they just kind of isolate themselves. But they are, as you said earlier, good at mathematics and stuff, but their brains are just wired very differently. I think that's interesting to look at.
I want to ask you a question. Do you believe there's a cure for autism?
Well, I'm not quite sure about that, but the idea of curing something implies that there's something, like, wrong or broken within. So, I can't really speak for autistic people, but there are two opposing ideas surrounding how desirable the cure is. Some may feel like you're forcing them to comply to societal norms instead of offering programs for them to adjust better into the real world, whereas, like, others want opportunity to have the capability to do everything, everyday things like communication. So their life might be, like, out of physical agony, you know? You know?
Yeah, okay. So I was looking for a case study on autism, more information on the subject, and I found one with a boy named Carter who was diagnosed at the age of 3. Apparently his treatments were successful and he no longer required services for autism spectrum disorder.
Really?
Yeah. The case study is called Journey with Autism, Successful Educational and Social Interventions from a Single Case Study by Quame M. D. John Moore, if anyone wants to read it in full.
Can you tell me about what treatments were used?
Of course, I'll summarize it.
Okay.
The treatments were grouped into two main categories, social and educational interventions. The social interventions consisted of attending regular school and participating in the school's club activities. These activities promoted regular social interactions and taught basic social skills like patience, cooperation, and following directions.
So, like, he was exposed to a lot of social opportunities?
Yeah. The educational interventions included homeschooling in tandem with regular schooling, educational videos, and puzzles. Both types of interventions heavily incorporated the use of language.
This kind of sounds like a program that helps them adjust to society, like, for them to transition. I feel like this take is quite, like, this take like, is, like, less aggressive and more efficient.
How do you think this case study ties in with Christopher's situation?
I think it kind of reveals, like, how necessary parental and educational support is to the development of the child. In the case study, Carter had a lot of support from both his mother and his school, while Christopher has to deal with both a sticky family ordeal and he has to attend a school where he doesn't really like or respect anyone.
Cool. Okay, since we already know who killed Wellington, I guess the real question is, would you recommend the book?
It depends. The title is sort of misleading. If you're looking for a thrilling mystery novel about the murder of a canine friend, this is probably not my first pick. However, if you want a fun read with a very unique writing style and a hint of family drama, this book is worth your time.
Well, that's all the questions I have.
Thank you for having me.
This is a wrap, friends. Good night, Tri-State area. Lock your doors. Be good to your wife. And remember, it isn't beating a dead dog if you're trying to figure out who killed it.